My name is Dunia Mishalovin, and I'm in California, Los Angeles. And welcome. I have some people who I know, who know me, and some new people. So thank you, everyone, for joining. This month is Elul, and it's a game changer month. So we are coming at the end of a year where today was the last day of Av, and Elul is the last month of the year. And we're somewhat damaged and tainted. We've been through a lot this year. First of all, in Av, we had Tisha B'Av, and we had the 3 weeks. And Mashiach still, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. And how do we get ready to celebrate a new year when we've had such a year? So this world is actually on a perennial one-year contract of existence. So every year on Rosh Hashanah, Hashem waits for us to crown him as king. And then he puts his energy back in the world. So on Rosh Hashanah evening, the world is like on autopilot. And the next move is up to us. So how do we get a desire to want to continue to stay in the game? Like, God is waiting for us to ask him to be the king. So why should we want it? You know, why should we want another year? This year was not the most comfortable year. Especially this year, pandemic, and we've got all kinds of political and social unrest. And even before the pandemic, you know, some of us were very, very comfortable. Some of us were less comfortable. But since the pandemic, we've probably all had moments of being shook up. So what's incredible about being shook up is that it gets us, it can spur us to ask really good Elul questions and really do Elul this year. So have you ever done anything by rote? We all do things by rote. That's the way we function. We can't think about everything we do. So many times I have davened by rote. You know, I'm working on it, but many times I blah, 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 blah. So Ashrei, which, you know, I was taught Ashrei maybe when I was in third grade. And some of the words there are Bahol Yom Avarachaka, Bahala Shimcha Lo'el Ve'eg, Gadol Hashem U'mahul O'ma'ay, V'liv D'Las Ein Chaser. And I could just like say that off by heart, you know? And then if I think about it, it's like, by the day, we're going to bless you. We're going to praise your name forever. Call out the greatness of the eternal, for there's no end to God's goodness. And it's like, whoa, what did I just rush through? So there's a story of two guys, and one says to the other, how come it takes you so long to daven? You know, it takes you forever. And the other person says, because you just say the words. I go there. I go to those places. So davening, it takes time. It takes focus. It takes a relationship. So we could go into Elul totally on autopilot. We've done this month before. We've had Rosh Hashanah before coming up. We could just do our thing. Or we can take this month and we can really tap into it and do this deep work and be transformed. So there's a story. I have looked for quite a while to try to find the story again because I didn't send myself the link. So I will say it. If anyone knows the story, please unmute yourself and tell us where we can find it. So this story is about a young man in the 1950s, and he was looking for a shidduch for a marriage, and he was in Crown Heights, and he was a Lubavitcher Chassid, and he would go into the Rebbe, and he would tell the Rebbe, you know, names that came up and what was going on. So he comes in once, and he says a name came up of a girl, and the Rebbe says to him, you should know that there's such a thing as Avas Yisrael. And Avas Yisrael means you do a favor, you make sure a Jew is not lacking anything, even a Jew from far away from Poland. When the Rebbe said that, this boy, this young man, he knew that like this information was important. It was gonna come up somewhere. So meanwhile, this name comes up and the uncle says, look, I have my niece. She stays with us. She's an orphan from the war, and she lives with us. Why don't you come over Friday night? And if you like, you know, what you see, she'll be there Friday night, then, you know, you can continue. So he goes over, and you know, everything looks good, and they date. And they get engaged. It's great. And he says, I'm gonna go to the Rebbe, and I'm gonna ask the Rebbe to be Masada Kedushin, to be the rabbi to marry us. And he goes into the Rebbe, and the Rebbe says, if you want me to be Masada Kedushin, she needs to wear a shetel. Okay, fine. He didn't think it would be an issue until he went and spoke to his fiance. And he says, okay, the Rebbe says you need to wear a shetel. And she's like, no, that's for old ladies. No offense to us. We're probably, most of us qualified. She's like, no, old ladies, not for me. And he's like, but that's the only way the Rebbe will marry us. And she's like, nope, not doing it. So whatever. He leaves. He talks to the uncle. The uncle talks to her. No. And then she says to the uncle that she wants to speak to him. And she wants to tell him her story, that she was an orphan and she was abandoned in Poland. And even when he breaks off the shidduch because she won't wear a shetel, she doesn't care. She's still going to do it. And that's it. The uncle tells her, and the young man goes and meets the fiance, and she tells him this thing. And even if he breaks it off, she's not wearing a shetel. And he goes, what are you talking about? I'm not breaking it off. She goes, what do you mean? He says, if I have an opportunity to do something for another Jew, how can I abandon you? How can I let you be forgotten? How can I let a scandal of a broken engagement? I can't do that to you. This is what the Rebbe taught me. And she said, I'm wearing a shetel. So what changed? Suddenly, with all this love and acceptance, all the outer stuff, it all disappeared. All the barriers disappeared. So Elul is this love. The zodiac is Virgo, and it's this just untouchable, essential connection that's revealed in Elul. And we go from Tisha B'Av, we go all the way to Yom Kippur. And many, many, many years ago, on Rosh Chodesh Elul, this is the day that Moshe Rabbeinu climbed the mountain of Har Sinai to ask God for forgiveness for the Jewish people for the sin of the golden calf. And he went up on Rosh Chodesh Elul and he came down on Yom Kippur. So we have this whole time period where we're getting ready for the holiest day of the year. So how do we do this? So we're going to look at Elul from multiple perspectives, because what happens is every month has an energy and it gets expressed in many different forms. So we're going to look at Elul from different perspectives, and then we're going to draw it all together to develop a fuller concept of the month. So we're going to look at
Duni.
Yeah.
Duni, can you unmute? There is too much noise in the background. Oh, people are cooking.
Sure.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, I'm happy people are cooking. I love to listen. I love to listen to Shiurim or Chitas while I'm in the kitchen. Okay, we're all muted. Thanks, Varda.
Okay, sorry.
No, thank you. I appreciate it. Okay, that's good. Thank you. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to look at Elul from all different perspectives, and then we'll draw it all together with a beautiful reading. So we're going to look at the shofar, we're going to look at the king in the field, an accounting of Elul, the acronyms of Elul is a biggie. Each month has a letter. We'll look at Yud, the letter of the month. Parshas Re'eh, which was last week's parsha, but it's totally with us. And Chai Elul, and we're going to pull it all together. So the shofar, you know, every year, tomorrow is the first day. I actually heard someone blow the shofar today. I got a little confused. The shofar is we're preparing for Elul, and I'm an educator, and it makes so much sense to me. Like, you can't just walk into Rosh Hashanah and blow the shofar. Like, let's prepare, and let's live with the sound and get used to it and think about it and maybe learn about it. I love it, and it just makes so much sense that we spend a month preparing. So remember I said we could go on autopilot in Elul. So the Rambam kind of says that, but in different words. He says the shofar is here to wake up, arise from your slumber and do teshuva. It's another way of saying get off autopilot. So this is really fascinating. The sound of the shofar, where does it come from? It comes from our breath. or whoever's doing it. From it comes from inside. It's a breath. Without the shofar, the air is silent. But with the shofar, it expresses this inner essence. And this is a pure and uncontaminated essence. It's a yud, which we'll talk about later. It's the Virgo. It's this untouchable, pure essence that's inside of us. And when we tap into this essence, and then when we express it, like the shofar expresses it, it takes us out of the narrowness of our lives. And like the shofar starts off very narrow, and then it gets wider and wider. So we start off narrow, but then the shofar brings us to a much more open space of blessing. Now the shofar also has a very regal sound to it. It's like, you know, announcing the king coming, a trumpet. So in Elul, we have the king in the field. It's a whole different dynamic that we have with God in Elul. Like way different than from the rest of the year. By the way, Elul is a month, it's a Klali month. Most of the months of the year are, they have their individual energy. There are 3 months, Elul and Tishrei and Nisan, that affect the entire year. And so here we are with Elul, and everything that happens in Elul impacts the whole journey of the year. So the king, this is like the beginning of our relationship with the king. So the parable, the famous parable, is that the king is in the field. So he's in the field, not in our homes, he's in the field. So he's in our daily lives. And I think this year, especially with so many less people being able to go to shul or being able to go to communal events, I think we can even better understand this concept of the king in the field, you know, because God is sheltering in place with us. He wants to meet us where we are in our daily lives. So I think maybe we can have a new perspective on that because we've had to do things at home that usually we would do in a group communal setting. At the same time, Hashem doesn't want us in our homes. He's in the field. He's like, get out of your house, out of your comfort zone, and go into the field where it's work. Because it takes effort and action to really build a relationship and to connect. Hashem is saying, I'm ready. I'm here for you. No appointment necessary. But you need to come to me to work on it. So we say Shema every day. V'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha. You should love Hashem, your God. So my question, in light of Elul, and that Hashem wants us to build a relationship with him, to connect on that essential thing, is how passionate is our love for Hashem? How alive is it? How much are we feeling this connection? And Hashem really, really wants us to have this connection, and we'll see later in Parshas Re'eh how he's really giving us the ability to connect with him. When we show Hashem that we are passionate about him and we want him in our lives, this elicits Hashem to want to rule the world and bring Mashiach. Very feminine energy, and it's called the Sarusa de la Tata, coming from us. That's all really nice and airy-fairy. Elul is also a month of accounting. And we're supposed to really, really go through everything that we did in the past year. Sort of try to balance the checkbooks before the end of the year. So I learned a few years ago, I think it was from Ray Ekman, how to every day write down what you're doing. And then at the end of the year, you can look and see what you've done. So I've been doing it monthly where I've been writing and accounting. And the concept is that at the end of the year, you look at all your writings from the year and you could see what happened this year to you. Because memory, you know, memory is memory, but if it's written down as you go through the year. So if we're not doing this or whatever we're doing, this is a great thing, even looking forward, something to do so that there's like there's a written memos from the whole year, notes. This is the energy of like discipline. So Elul has the energy of discipline and organization and hard work, like the king is in the field. It's also Gad. Every month there are 12 months and there are 12 Shvatim. So Gad is the Shevet of the month. And Gad were soldiers. So work and discipline. And this is really cool. Eliyahu Navi, according to the Medrash, he descended from the Shevet of Gad. Eliyahu HaNavi is going to be the one to reveal the essence of this world when he announces Mashiach. May it happen immediately. Any questions? I'm going to stop for a second and just pause. Any questions? No, we're good? Okay. We'll continue on to the acronyms. Very famous five acronyms of Elul. And they stand for all different themes within Elul. And we'll draw it all together at the end. So it starts with Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim, learning Torah, davening, and chesed, and kindness, or tzedakah. So the first one is...
I want to message Molly and ask him, where are you, Yisra Shabbos, dear?
Ina Liyada Shishamti Lach. Please make sure that you are muted. Okay. Ina Liyada Shishamti Lach. In the Torah, if someone accidentally killed somebody, then they can go to a city of refuge and they're protected there. No one can do a retaliatory killing there. So they're protected. So what is, how is a city of refuge connected to Torah? Because Torah is our city of refuge. When the world, when we don't understand what's going on in the world, we're all confused, we can turn to the Torah. And the Torah protects us, and the Torah helps us understand what's going on. So this is a time when we increase in Torah. There's three pillars. The next one is Avodah, which is Ani Ledodi V'Dodi Li. I am to my beloved and my beloved is to me. It's an acronym for Elul. So how is I am to my beloved and my beloved is to me connected with davening? Because davening is a love song. It's spiritual intimacy. And when I was a teenager, I confronted a teacher with this question. I said, how come we spend so long davening? And I think I specifically mentioned that there were like four pages of Hallelujahs. I'm like, why don't we do one paragraph and be done with it? And she was very disturbed by my question. And I think my mother was giving shiurim in davening at that time. So she was like, how come your mother can't reach you? Like, you're asking this question, your mother's teaching this stuff. But I was a teenager and I didn't understand. And I didn't understand the kind of love relationship at that point. I didn't understand that davening is a relationship and that you spend time together and you enjoy each other's company and you build up. And that's Ani Ledodi V'Dodi Li. I am to my beloved and my beloved is to me. And it doesn't matter how far away we feel from Hashem, we're always Ani Ledodi. We're always connected with Hashem. So this is really cool because I never thought of it in this way before. Elul is the beginning of time. So Rosh Hashanah is when, at least according to the opinion we all hold up, Rosh Hashanah is the day that man was created. So time actually began when God created the first day, which would have been Chaf Hei Elul. So right now, we are in this time period of before time. It's just God's essence. It's just godliness. And that's why this month is so connected with our essence, because time and limitations were only created towards the end of this month. So this is the time for us to connect with this essence that's above all of creation. And it's a funny thing because God gives us the essence and at the same time, he wants us to initiate. He wants us to find it within ourselves. You know, sometimes we have things within ourselves and we don't realize it. And that's why having somebody else, you know, so many times someone else can see in you strengths and powers that you don't see yourself. I don't see myself. You know, for me, the Rebbe is one who constantly sees in me more than I see in myself. And this is Elul. And what happens is it's this beautiful circle because when we reach out to Hashem, then we get responses back. It's like, imagine if you see someone in a store and you haven't seen them in a long time. It's like, hi, you're so happy to see them. Now imagine if 2 days earlier you had messaged them and had some kind of interaction or whatever it was. Then when you see them in person, you have such, like you have a deeper connection. So too with Hashem, if we message Hashem, if we reach out to him, then when it's time for Tishrei and it's time for all of that, we're going to have a more meaningful interaction. So the next one is Gemilas Chasadim, Ish L'Re'ehu U'Matanas L'Avyonim. It's from Purim. We give gifts of food, and during Elul, it's a time when we increase in tzedakah, and there is a whole shiur that can be given on that, but we are going to move right on. And then two more is the Geula and Teshuvah. So the Geula is Ashira LaHashem V'yomru Lemor, and I will sing to God, and they will say it's from when Moshe and the Jews left Mitzrayim, and they were praising Hashem. It's called Az Yashir. And famously, Rashi says in Az Yashir, Az means then he will sing. So we're talking about the Geula, that when the Geula comes, it's actually going to be the 10th song Moshe Rabbeinu will sing with us. And everyone get your tambourines ready. And the last one is Teshuvah. Omal Hashem es levavcha ve'es levav, and God will circumcise your heart. And here again, we have this relationship of us initiating and Hashem helping. Hashem will circumcise your heart. Hashem will help you feel connected with him. And this year we see it in Elul, in this month, in that Hashem is in the field. You just walk right up. You don't need to go through the anteroom and all of that, and no appointment necessary.
What'd you say?
So, someone's muted. There we go. So, Teshuvah is a really big theme this month. So I want to look at Teshuvah through the lens of the letter of the month, because every month has a letter. The whole world was created through spirituality, and through speech. So letters are part of it. So Yud is a strong letter here. It's a beautiful story. Yud represents love, of course. As well as other things. So Rabbi Yisrael of Ruzhin, he was a young boy, and he came home one night, and he's reading, he's practicing his reading, and his father is with him. And his teacher had told him that whenever you see two dots next to each other, like two yuds next to each other, then you say Hashem's name. So he's reading. Now, at the end of every pasuk, at the end of every verse, there's two, it's a colon, it's two dots, one on top of the other. So he's reading, and every time he reaches the end of a pasuk, the end of a verse, he says Hashem's name. And his father is like, who taught you to do this? Like, what are you doing? So he says, my teacher told me that whenever I see two dots that are together, I say Hashem's name. So that's what I'm doing. So his father said to him, the Yud represents a Jew. When one Jew is beside another, when one Jew respects another, then Hashem is with them. Hashem dwells in their presence. But when one Jew is on top of the other, when one Jew thinks he's better than someone else, or he's smarter, or is disrespectful to his neighbor, that's the end of a passage. That's the end of a pasuk. It creates a separation between Hashem and God. So this is the Yud. The Yud is a dot. It's like Hashem's seminal power, this tiny power of Hashem that's going to create the world. The Yud also is like a flame. It represents our soul's yearning to go up to Hashem. And we're going to take a moment and just dissect the Yud a little more. The Yud, if you want to spell out the word Yud, it's Yud Vav Dalet. Yud, right? So each one of those represent a different aspect of the Yud that bring it all together. So the Yud, we said, represents this concentrated power of Hashem. The Vav represents a descent. It represents a coming down. So that's Hashem's blessing coming down into this world. And then the Dalet is across and down. It represents the physical world. And it signifies that Hashem's blessings are in nature. And that the blessings of the Yud, they don't just reside in heaven, but they flow down into this world. So Hashem, he created the world with yud utterances, with 10 utterances. And we also have 10 commandments, because the Torah, which is the blueprint of this world, is a physical representation of God's essence. So let's look at the Torah, because the Torah has some incredibly powerful lessons about Elul in it, right here in the Parsha. So Parshas Re'eh, which is last week's Parsha, is always the Shabbos before Elul or on Rosh Chodesh Elul. So we missed it by a day, because Rosh Chodesh Elul is Friday. So if we had one day later, we would have had Parshas Re'eh. So Parshas Re'eh was last week. And it starts off, Re'eh Anochi Noisen Lifneichem Hayoyim Ha'esa Bracha V'esa Klala. Today, behold, I put before you a blessing and a curse. So we're gonna unpack that. Re'eh, see. So Hashem wants us to see something. He wants us to really, really know it. You know, if you say, oh, I see, I get it, right? It's more than hearing. Hearing is less permanent. If you're seeing, you know what you saw, you're convinced that that is it. Magicians make money off that. The power of sight. Anoichi, re'eh anoichi, today I am Hashem. I am the essence. It's not a name of Hashem. It's just I. It's not an attribute of Hashem. Nesin, I'm giving to you. So this is, I'm giving to you. Hashem is giving us the power to see him. Hashem is giving us the power to be able to connect with him, to access that. Lifnechem, it could have said lecha, to you. Lifnechem is, I'm putting it right before you. So you can internalize it, like it's set before you. And Hayom today, it should be fresh, it should be new. So Hashem, he wants us to live with Torah and mitzvahs like it's fresh and new, like a young maiden in love, like Virgo, which is the zodiac of this month. The world, it conceals Hashem. So Hashem really wants us to find him here, to see him in this world without taking any substances, to actually see him in reality, not just a dream. So the Rebbe asks a pasuk. He asks a question, and he says, you know, these words are so positive. I'm going to give to you, see it, the essence of Hashem. And then God says, I'm going to give you blessings and curses. Thank you very much. Where do the curses come in from? That doesn't sound very positive. So this is a classic Hasidic explanation. The intent, the pnimius of all the Yetzer Hara, of all the obstacles that we have, it's not that we should fall for those things that are tripping us up. The intent behind them is that we become stronger in our faith, in our bitachon, in our munah, in our Torah, and in our mitzvahs. That's the intent. So when we re'eh, when we see the intent behind the struggle, and when we know it's actually whatever we're going through is here, so we become stronger in our Torah and our mitzvahs, in our relationship with God, with ourselves, this itself weakens the power of the Yetzer Hara. So there's a term for this called, it's not in the Sikha, it's called metacognition. It's understanding and awareness of your thoughts. And we use it in education, teaching students metacognitive strategies so they are proactive students, so they're not passive. And I feel that it applies here. It's the same kind of thing. If we could see that unwanted thought, that base desire, if we know where it's coming from, that can help us be stronger and be proactive. And have positive energy. And again, this is the strength of organization and strategy in this month of having a soldier kind of approach here, of God. So there's no Yomim Tovim in Elul, where we've got plenty to focus on getting ready for the new year. There is one very, very, very special day called Chai Elul. Chai means life. And this day infuses this month with energy, and it symbolizes the energy of the month. It's the birthdays of the Baal Shem Tov and the Alter Rebbe, and representing love and Torah. The Baal Shem Tov really brought out the Yechida, the Yud in every Jew, the simple love for all Jews, universal love for everyone. And the Alter Rebbe took that message and then he developed it into an intellectual understanding, particularly with his core book of the Tanya. And these two together, we've got the Yud, the Virgo, the Ani Ladodi of the Baal Shem Tov, and the Alter Rebbe, we've got the field and the work and God. And together they meld into this perspective that we can live with in Elul and use to really help us grow in Elul and get ready for the big Tishrei party and all the hoopla. I want to just conclude with a reading from just an amazing writer about Elul in Lubavitch and what it was like. So here we go. There was the smell of Elul in the air. You could feel the first stirrings of a teshuva breeze. Every person there was beginning to grow a little more deliberate, a little more thoughtful, and allowing his weekday affairs to fade from his memory. I'm going to skip over. Lying in bed, every day of Elul was quite unlike every other day of the year. Lying in bed at 6 o'clock in the morning, you could hear that the first daybreak minyan in the Beis Medrash had already finished its morning prayers. You could hear the shofar. It woke you up to the fact that the world was now pervaded by Elul. You dress hastily, a trifle dissatisfied with yourself for having somehow slept in so late. Through your mind flits the recollection that this was the period that Moshe Rabbeinu spent on Mount Sinai. These are propitious days, days in which you can accomplish more than usual. You tell yourself that you really should become a mensch. You cannot let these hours be lost on sleep. By the time you arrive at the Beis Medrash, you find quite a crowd already there. Some are reading Tehillim. Some are studying Hasidus. Some are reading Tikkuni Zohar, while others, whether standing or sitting, are at prayer. So that was written by the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe in his memoirs, Likutei Diburim. It's available. He's an incredible writer. I want to wish everybody a kasiva v'chasima tova. Shana Tova, Masucha, Sukkah, a good, sweet year. And thank you for joining. And together we all learn something. And I hope we all take the inspiration and take it with us into this month. And it should really be a good Gebenst Jahr.